Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hello, and welcome to the Dublin Arsenal Preview Show. I'm your host, Jonathan Giles. On the show tonight, Thursday, November the 6th, I'm joined by show regular Eamon Donnelly to chat in-depth about her upcoming Premier League fixture against Régie Le Bris in form Sunderland side at the Stadium of Light this coming Saturday evening. Sunderland versus Arsenal will be live on Sky Sports Premier League at 5:30 this Saturday, November the 8th. So come in and join us at the River Bar for all the pre- and post-match crack. Enjoy the show. As I said in my intro, this balmy towards the evening, 13 degrees here in Dublin. You wouldn't get this in June or July, but happy days. And any excuse to open a few Paretti's. I'm joined by Eamon Donnelly. How are you, pal?
Evening, Jonathan. Speaking of the heat there, I see there's an outbreak of bird flu. It's all relative. If you offered me bird flu over rabies, I'd bite your hand off.
This is a pretty sexy birdie cracker.
I've another 42 hours left in my 50s. Yeah.
How does it feel, Eamon? Are you going out with a bang?
Look at it. How does it feel? If you can feel, that's number one. That's a plus. And if you're any way towards vertical, that's the bonus ball, you know.
Eamon is cooking a fine steak tonight, so he's ending his 50s.
He's ending his 50s
in style. I like that.
The last time I cooked the steak there, the fella says to me, watching me, he says, well done. Anyway, we're in good form.
I hope all the lads...
I'm on my first Moretti, by the way. I should clarify that, you know.
There's still another 35 minutes, sure there'll be a few more hatched open between now and then. I'd just like to say, catch our shows, as always, our review and preview shows on Spotify and the Dublin Arsenal YouTube channel, and also on social media outlets, X, Instagram, Facebook and Snapchat. You can catch us there. Just like to say before we start, David Sims is at a fancy dinner tonight with the one and only, we've met him a few times, Eamon, Ray Parler. It looks to be a cracker. He sent a few pics.
He's a stardom junkie, that David Sims, you know. I don't know who's chasing fame more. Ray Parler by meeting David Sims, or David Sims by meeting Ray Parler.
The last picture I got at 8:30 was the two of them swigging a few shots. So it's certainly not really. The good news is, Steve says he met Ray Parler's son. He says he was all right. So... seems to be going well. So just thought I'd give a big shout out there. Yeah, Ray Parler.
If you did a documentary on Robin Hood, David Sims be hiding in the forest.
Yeah. he's a ringer, isn't he? For one of them. Spot on.
Yeah.
Old Friar took himself.
Yeah.
David, if you're listening, Eamon says hi. great to have you on board, Eamon. And of course, into our match preview. Our last game before the international break coming up. This is the last international break up until March, thank God. So it's football all the way after the international break next weekend. But to take us there is match day 11. This coming Saturday at 5:30, Sky Sports Premier League against Sunderland. Sunderland got promoted via the playoff final last season with an impressive 2-1 victory over Chris Wilder's Sheffield United side, courtesy of a late goal by current Brighton player Tom Watson, who moved there. Cracking goal, by the way, to win the game. We knew very little about Régie Le Bris. He only managed of note Lorient in the French League from 2022 to 2024, Eamon. Sheffield United had a cracking season. I thought I would have fancied Sheffield United in the playoff final, but then playoff finals can go either way. It doesn't matter. Form does go out the window. How big of an achievement was that by the Sunderland manager, Eamon, last season?
Well, I actually I remember watching that game in Southampton, Jonathan,
Yeah.
because I was over for our last game of the season,
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
and
yeah.
it was on the day before. It was on the Saturday before the Southampton game,
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
and I tipped Sunderland, and I'll tell you why. I always feel that if a team misses out on the top two, it's a team that's lost momentum. You know what I
Yeah,
mean?
yeah, yeah.
So you're fighting, fight. You're in a race. Sheffield United looked all ends up as if they were going up automatically. They didn't. And I think when you get sucked into the playoffs, when that happens, you're in peril. Sunderland did it the other way around. They came in with a bit of form. First half hour of that game, Sunderland should have been dead and buried, and they played their way into it. And they deserved a win in the end. But they bought a new team since. I mean, they didn't just come into the Premier League and decide,
We take the windfall payments
but we'll be
and
okay. And if we get relegated, we get a parachute payment. They didn't do that. They went all out, a bit like what Nottingham Forest did a couple of years ago, right? And I think that's going to become the blueprint for teams coming up. Go big, take a risk, and see if you can consolidate. But I'd like anybody, any of the listeners who want to know anything about the state Sunderland we're in, one of these Arteta-type flying the wall documentaries on Sky, Sunderland Till I Die.
Yeah, I saw that, Eamon.
You
That's
need to
very
watch
like her.
that, and you'll see what a state the club was in, you
Yeah, I've
know.
seen a shocking mess.
So it's a remarkable turnaround, you know.
And they've an avid, they've some, you can really compare it to on the other side of the city there, the Newcastle fans, the Sunderland fans are as buoyant as them. The Stadium Light is a very intimidating place. And my memories of them when I started watching the Premier League first, when I really got into it, the Arsenal was when Ian Wright was there at the Gunners. But for Sunderland, it would have been our former Gooner, Niall Quinn, and the partnership he had with Kevin Phillips, Eamon. That was
Yeah.
quite a partnership, wasn't it? Little and large, they nicknamed it, but very.
Niall Quinn is a big part of Sunderland, you know. He's a big part of the Sunderland story. And it's a club that he took to his heart. But that Sunderland Newcastle thing is it's a strange thing in that Newcastle is it's the headline city in that direction. Sunderland is, it's not a great place, to be honest with you, but by the same token, Sunderland people would feel a bit let down on the basis that they were the port. Sunderland was the port, you know, Sunderland Harbour, Sunderland Dock. And it's the poor relation in Newcastle. And, they, yeah, there's a that rivalry is it's more than just football, Jonathan.
It's
You
funny.
know,
When you see the two of them, it's a real battle, isn't it? Like the city's
That's a
not much.
social class war. That's a war between, when I say war, I mean in the liberal sense.
In and out, yeah.
That's a war between two cities, one that has always overshadowed the other, you know.
The Stadium of Light, Eamon, Roker Park, of course, was the previous ground. Sunderland played out for the younger listeners that showing our age here now. Have you seen many games yourself, Eamon, at Sunderland's ground, either Roker
I've never
Park?
been in the Stadium of Light.
No, never.
No,
No.
it's
Right.
one of the few grounds, Jonathan. I'd say in the top two divisions I haven't been at.
Right, okay.
I was at Roker Park.
What was that like, Eamon?
Roker Park was, it was good. It was old fashioned, and then I find this kind of the passionate fans from the Northeast thing a bit of a myth, to be honest with you. They're human beings, no different than us. When things are going bad, they don't like it, you know. And when things are going well, they make a lot of noise. But it's an interesting part of the world, that northeast of England. You know, it's different than here, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's
Yeah.
a cracking city, nonetheless, Newcastle. And of course, for Sunderland themselves, last season, Wilson Isidore finished top scorer on 12 goals, and he's
Yeah.
one of the few survivors of that team to still be playing in the Premier League this season.
Yeah.
He's top form with 4 goals now. He's top scorer in the Premier League for them. Stadium Light attendance is 48,707, one of those intimidating grounds. Top assist for them this season is our ex-Gooner, Granit Xhaka, with three. And of course, scored on Monday night against Everton in the 1-1 draw. And Robin Roos has three clean sheets, and he's really impressed me. Knew very little about him. How have you felt, Eamon? They unbeaten at home this season in the Premier League at the Stadium Lights Sunderland. Out of five Premier League games, they've three wins and two draws. How do you feel they've done up to now, Eamon, in their first 10 Premier League games?
They've been very impressive, Jonathan. Everybody thought Sunderland were a shoo-in to go down. In fact, the narrative on this year's Premiership was that could Leeds stay up? Otherwise, it'd be a Leeds, Burnley, Sunderland, straight up, straight back down. That's what everybody was saying. And Sunderland have surprised everybody, but they've surprised people who weren't keeping an eye on the transfer market. Sunderland have bought a lot of players, you know. The best one they bought was our own, Granit Xhaka. He's been outstanding this season. And that doesn't come as any surprise. He's an outstanding professional. Okay, he had a bit of a moment of madness. Well, I always thought he was a brilliant player for the Arsenal. He was played in the wrong position, used in the wrong way. And that's one of the many feathers in Mikel Arteta's cap, that he got the best out of Xhaka. We really saw the best out of Xhaka under Arteta, and his appreciation of what he could bring to a game. He's a great man to dictate the rhythm of a game, Xhaka, you know.
Get it down to
And
his level.
another youth academy, Daniel Ballard. He was at Arsenal a long, long time as a youth, you know, was captain of the academy team and all that, and it's good to see him. He's a fella that I wondered, when they came up, would he be the collateral damage in terms of being in the team? But he's
He
well and
certainly
truly in the
hasn't.
team, you know. He has certainly has not. Yeah, he's been brilliant.
In terms, Eamon mentioned a very good point twice there. Sunderland's summer business was really, they have like an Andrea Berta at Sunderland in terms of their business, which I'll go through now. Habib Diarra came from Strasbourg for 31.5 million. Simon Adingra, who had a super season with Brighton, for 24.4 million. Xhaka came from
I think it
Leverkusen.
was a great boy, Jonathan. Sorry for interrupting you.
There,
He was a great boy, you know.
He's got pace. I really liked him when he was at Brighton. I thought he was kind of mad to let him go. Sorry, Granit Xhaka from Leverkusen for 15 million euro. Enzo Lefebvre from Roma for 23 million. Robin Roos, the goalkeeper, Nijmegen, 10.5. Brian Brobbey from Ajax for 20 million. Noah Siddiqui from Union Saint-Gilloise, 70 million. He's impressed me a lot. Nnamdi Mukiele from PSG for 12 million. Rayan Nilddo from Atletico Madrid for free. Bertrand Traoré from Ajax, he played for Chelsea back in the day for 2.9 million. Chamsdane Tabley, who got the winner at Stamford Bridge, came from Bruges for 20 million. Omar Alderete from Getafe for 11.6, and Mark Yu from Chelsea on loan. As you said, Eamon, all these players, a lot of people wouldn't have heard, but they certainly have heard them now in terms of Siddiqui and Mukiele.
You've done a bit of a roll call there, and that's about 12 players you've name checked, right?
And as you said,
And
Liam, sorry for cutting across you, very similar to Nottingham Forest, wasn't it? That
100%, absolutely, absolutely. And I think, but I don't think, you see, it wasn't the kind of a shop and trolley dash. It was planned, it was done early in the summer, it was organized, it was structured. And when they came to pre-season, they had their squad. And that's why they are where they are. They didn't do a kind of a last minute dash.com. You look at Brian Brobbey. I remember when we were on the market for a striker, and you know the way I have this aversion to websites that update you with transfer gossip and all that. But at one stage, we were supposed to be after Brian Brobbey. Now they paid Ajax 20 million for him, and he's, do you know what? He is a threat. But he's not getting in the starting 11. So that'll tell you how good they are, you know.
How impressed are you after a goalkeeper, Robin Roos, that big lad in gold? I think he's Belgian. He's had a cracking start to his camp, see, or start to his career at Sunderland, hasn't he? Especially, there was one game, sorry, Eamon, they drew nil nil at Crystal Palace, and he must have made about five, six saves. That's that, match winning saves that kept it a nil nil. He's incredible, isn't he?
What's the story with Belgian goalkeepers? They're growing them like sprouts. Like, did you see Courtois the other night? Like, you
Yeah,
know,
incredible.
that's
Say,
unbelievable.
their
Like,
agility is incredible.
hold
The
off.
one that would probably fall through the gap there was Simon Mignolet. He was just one of the, yeah, but you're right. There's something about Belgian keepers. They unearth these, don't they, into worldies.
He's been incredible. I think what's impressed me most about Sunderland is they're well coached. They play a kind of it's weird. They play a 5-4-1,
Yeah.
right? And but they don't do this low block.
No.
They're prepared to come out and play. Their 5-4-1 translates into a 3-2-4-1 with the
Wing.
with the fullbacks pushing up. And against Chelsea, I watched them against Chelsea. I was down in Kilkenny that weekend, and I watched the full game. I was in a Pilsner drinking actually Guinness Zero because the band I was in were playing that night, so couldn't go on the rip, unfortunately. But Chelsea went one up, and I thought the usual was going to happen. Sunderland got the goal back, but in the second half, Sunderland changed up their tactics. They brought Brobbey on. And they went over Chelsea and caused them an awful lot of problems doing that. And that's how the second goal came. If you remember, it was a long ball over. Brobbey gets a hold of it and he holds it up. And then you mentioned the player earlier that came in and slotted him with his left foot. But you see, I think, to be honest with you, I think one great thing that Arteta has done at Arsenal, he's done many great things, but one great. Even though we still watch games through our fingers, the players aren't feeling that stress. We are, right? He's taken the jeopardy out of games, right?
Yeah.
In that, I looked at a pre-season friendly against Villarreal. Do you remember?
Yeah, we
They went
lost that
over us
game.
3 times. They went over us 3 times,
Yeah.
right? I haven't
Yeah.
seen that happen at all this season
Yeah. That was quickly
because
ironed out.
we were trying to do something in pre-season, and that's why people having meltdowns about conceding 3 goals at home in the pre-season, the cop armor, you're trying stuff.
This
But
is where
Arsenal
errors are corrected.
tried to play a very high line that day and got
Absolutely.
absolutely razored, and they haven't done it since. So I think I just think Arsenal are in a state where they can cope with any type of game. I know you did the review show on the European match, but like Arsenal allowed Slavia Prague to dominate them for 20 minutes without actually letting them really get a glove on us. We're capable of doing that. We're a bit short at the moment up front. I hope the international break, if not Gyökeres, gets Havertz back because we do need a striker. I know people talk about Mikel Merino. He's brilliant. I love him. He's fantastic, but he's not a
He's our Alan
striker.
Smudger.
Well, he's not a striker. He's not.
No.
He's not. I think Merino's doing well for the fella. He doesn't play striker.
What I
Reminds me
like
when I
about him,
was at
Eamon,
Leicester.
what I like about Mikel Merino, he's happy to play in any position he's asked. And that shows the character of a player, doesn't it? Who's not starting.
I got back to a game I watched at home. I think it was the Brentford game at home last season when he was in the middle of that run where he was our striker with nobody
Yeah.
else,
Yeah.
And I looked at him in the flesh and I thought, do you know what? He can do lots of things, but he's not a striker. He doesn't play the game like a striker. He doesn't cause the same chaos as a striker in terms of the physical challenges that he drops deep. He's very robotic in terms of he's a very controlled player. He's a very disciplined player. He's a very calm player. He's a very assured player.
Yeah.
And he's not a striker. He doesn't make the same moves as a striker. But my God, in terms of getting us out of a hole, what a job he's done. And I'd actually say he's probably the best finisher at the club, either him or Trossard. Trossard or him are the two best finishers at the club,
Yeah, and not only a club but a country level as well, international level. He's banging the goals
But
in for Spain as well,
the
isn't
finish the other night, the first time finish the other night was, it
we were
was
just
absolutely
yeah.
unbelievable,
The ball from Trossard, he just had to only finish it off. Was that good to the cross, you know? And then the
He's
second
mad
goal,
keen. He's mad keen for that corner flag, though, isn't he? He
yeah,
missed the old
he's
cheeky
mad for
deal.
running over too. Yeah.
Bit of Morris dancing around the corner flag, yeah.
He can do all the Morris dancing he likes if he gets spanked in another town Saturday, Eamon.
We're going to need him on Saturday because we've no one else.
Yeah, we've every position covered yet again, but as Martin pointed out brilliantly, our striker injury crisis is a bit of a worry. But I think Kai Havertz isn't that far off.
No, it would be a worry if they were. I think Havertz isn't far off. I think Madueke isn't far
Far
off. I
off,
think Martinelli's not too serious. But you see, I was just thinking about that injury situation, and people say, oh, when we get our injured players back, we're going to lose other players. Like, if you
Yeah,
just, on the law of averages, the way we've been going, we're going to be down a half a dozen players every single week for the rest of the season, right? But we have the squad to deal with that.
we
The
need
only
depth.
problem this time is you don't expect the half a dozen to be your entire forward line. If people are going to get injured, can we spread it throughout the team, please? You
That's
know,
what Martin and Martin were saying the same thing. Can we have it evenly to spread?
But a lot of credit's down to Mikel and the coaching staff for, you never heard them moaning about the injuries. It's
No.
just they moan about the schedule. The
Yeah.
players are moaning about the
Schedule.
schedule, but they just do what they do, and they try and find ways of solving problems, and I like that, you know.
And as Mikel Arteta keeps reverting back to the togetherness of everyone, everyone pulls together, even through the tough periods like injuries, everyone
It was a
comes.
very interesting interview with Trossard before the Slavia Prague game. I don't know whether you covered that the other night.
No.
And they were asking about, when they get in this huddle, he seemed to be very vocal at Burnley.
Yeah.
And he said, well, that's because the coach, Arteta, encourages to speak to each other all the time. Speak to each other all the time. So that kind of, and that's another thing, sometimes players
They
you
can
have a
go.
higher hierarchy in the on the pitch, and
Yeah.
so-and-so is the vocal one, blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, Arteta encourages, if you have something on your mind to say, discuss it with your mates. You're going to war with them, and discuss, and absolutely,
You might as well come
let
out and be
and
honest.
that's much better than talking down your sleeve and having an issue with another player, and
Yeah, it's out in the open.
And the other thing Trossard said, and it really rang a bell with me, was that he just wants to win all the time. That if he was playing kind of Play-Doh with his kids, he'd want to win. He want to batter his kids at Monopoly. He just wants to win.
He's an
And
appetite, he's a
I think
hunger.
he's in the part of his career now where
He has, yeah, he's coming to a.
he's on that sweet spot, Jonathan. I just think that he's right at it in terms of. There's a guy who looks driven to me,
He's from a player that looked like that he was going out the door in the summer. He's certainly given Arteta a headache, and he's the first name on the team sheet now by the looks of it as well. So that shows how far he's come, doesn't it? His attitude and his work rate.
He also mentioned in the interview about the chaos that Calafiori causes. But what he did say though was that he could instinctively find a pass to Calafiori, a blind pass, knowing where he'd be. So, well, it looks like chaos to everybody else. They seem to know what they're doing, and that's quite reassuring,
As long as they know what they're doing, we're in a good place. At the moment, as the Premier League table stands, Arsenal ourselves are, of course, top with 25 points. Sunderland, fourth position on 18 points, and another, what, 20 points, and that's safety assured for this season. And who knows if they can continue this on and avoid injuries, maybe they could be looking at Europa Conference League football. But do you think that position reflects on how well they've done, Eamon, and fourth on the table for Sunderland?
They're worth every bit of that place in the table. I think the only disappointing performance they've had was at Old Trafford when they didn't really turn up that day,
I think
Yeah, but
United
I think
might be
no,
surprising.
they've been very good. I mean, what's their record? 5-3-2, 5 wins,
Five,
three
three, two.
draws.
Yeah, spot on. You can't go wrong there. Of course, Arsenal have won. We've won our last five games. We're on a hot streak. Sunderland's last five games. Monday evening was a 1-1 draw against Everton. And they've won at away at Chelsea 2-1, at home 2-0 against Wolves. Vitor Pereira got sacked, of course, the weekend gone. Man United, as you mentioned, Eamon, 2-0 and 1-0 away at Forest, which has been quite remarkable, you know. And the thing, well, no, about Sunderland's results as well, they're not conceding a lot of goals. They're very, you know, as you said, they're tight enough as well at the back, aren't they? And as you mentioned,
What's the Forest game? And they conceded 20 shots. But that was one of the days where the goalkeeper really excelled himself. He was, you know,
When the
he
Forest
was like
fans are in the
something
crowd and you know your team's up, right?
FIFA
Even his
manager or
manager says,
something.
"Geez, we've got a golden, we've got a world
No.
here." Yeah, three clean sheets already for Robin Roofs, and they certainly have hit the roof with
But he's got good movement as a goalkeeper. He's quick across his line, you know. You know, he's agile, very agile, you
What
know.
players, Eamon, from what you've seen of Sunderland, have stood out for you, you know, this season so far?
There's a guy, I just can't recall his name now, John, that he plays as a right full back. Dark haired guy. Watched him the other night against Everton. He was exceptional. Zaka has been a standout player, you know.
He
He's been the
has, man.
standout player. But you see, I think that they're so well kind of tuned in to what they're doing to each other. They don't really have superstars. They have a system, you know.
It's a team effort.
But I just can't think of that guy's name. But
I don't know, get it up here now. I said,
he played. It's I'll come to me,
what's
you
the
know.
second now, aim? We get up here now.
And Ballard has been very impressive.
Ballard, he got the equaliser against Coventry City
Yeah, but he's
in the
been very
second leg,
impressive.
didn't he, at the
He's very
playoff?
impressive.
And he's been impressive with Northern Ireland as well. He's a solid enough. Trey Hume is the fullback's name.
What's his name?
Trey Hume.
That's the guy. He's been really, really impressive,
And
you
he's a young
know.
lad, but I think he's a local lad as well. I think as well. I think he's one of their own, as far as I know. That lad in midfield beside Xhaka as well, Noah Siddiqui, has done really well. You know, he's one of those midfielders that keeps nabbing at you. But you know, and they're clever enough. They can get free kicks as well from nothing, can't they, son? They're clever.
But they try and win the ball early. They're brave, you know.
Brave, yeah.
They
Yeah, there's
don't sit back and they'd be a different proposition than Burnley were. And no disrespect to Burnley, but Burnley handles the game. You
yeah.
know, Burnley handles the game. Here, have the ball. I don't think Sunderland will do that. I think they'd be much more full foot. And I just get a feeling about the Arsenal that we're kind of limping into the international break a little bit. Can we swim to shore, get 3 points, hopefully? But I just think that the international break is coming at the right time for us, you know.
And fingers crossed we won't get any injuries during the international break.
But we won't have anybody playing.
Yeah, thank God. In terms of our injury crisis going into the game, the players out currently is Nani Madueke with a knee injury. Same with Martin Odegaard. Havertz has a knee injury. Gabriel Jesus has a cruciate ligament injury. Gabriel Martinelli's a knock. Same with Martin Zubimendi. And Victor Gyökeres is a muscle injury, and Arteta's quite confident after the international break, Gyökeres should be.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah.
I'm not as confident as you are. No, I think that's a hamstring injury, and I think there's a
Yeah.
couple more weeks in that.
Yeah.
I understand Havertz is very close.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the Martinelli injury is. A knock. But was it a mallet on his head, or was it like a knock on the toenail? We don't know. But I think Zubimendi's okay. I just think he was suspended the other night. I know
You're right. He was suspended for the last game, yeah, and he's become a vital cog. But Christian Norgaard done a super job there the other
Yeah,
night.
he did. A very good acquisition.
Yeah. In terms of Arsenal players who have played for the Machams, as we always do in our previous shows, Nicholas Bendtner, Super Nick, as he's known, played in 2011, 28 appearances for the Machams, 8 goals. Stevie Bold, 99 to 2010.
David Ball played a season with Sunderland.
21 games he played, no
And he's
goals.
got nowhere, and we don't care.
Yeah.
Steve David Ball. Maybe well, yeah.
What a defender he was.
Oh, yeah.
Justin Hoyt.
Yeah, Justin Hoyt, yeah.
2005, 27 played, one goal. Sebastian Larsson, 2011 to 16, 184.
Yeah, he was a good pro,
He was a
yeah.
great free kick
Yeah,
taker as
he was a
well.
good pro as well.
He actually played for Birmingham as well, and I think Steve
He
Bruce
did, yeah.
along, didn't he, when he went to Sunderland as well. Yeah, he was very fond of Sebastian Larsson, Bentner, Steve Bruce. Vito Minoni,
Oh
2013 to
God,
16.
yeah, I read them on the Italian
Our
goalkeeper.
Italian
Yeah.
Sterling. Mark Poole, Arizonian,
Mark
2002.
Quinn only played one game with the Arsenal.
Made 58 appearances in two seasons for Sunderland. He played
Yeah.
more better known for by Derby County fans. Mark,
Yeah.
he was a cracking keeper. Stefan Sparres, the Swedish lads, 1999 to 01, 67 appearances, three goals.
I can go back in, then there was a guy
Actually,
called
I think
Doug.
Stefan Sparres early aim and scored against us as well for Sunderland. I think we drew at the stadium. I think he may have got the equaliser,
He
Sparres.
did.
He did, didn't he? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember it
And
was
we
a good.
also, you mentioned Big Niall. We also had a guy, the older listeners will remember, in Liam's day, a fella who was trying to break into the team at the Arsenal. He probably got about 70 or 80 games for the Arsenal. A fella called Will Frostrum. He went up to Sunderland and he made a good career
Did
there.
he?
And of course, don't forget, Alan Sunderland played for Arsenal.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he kind of goes
No,
under the radar, doesn't he, as well? Yeah.
Alan Sunderland. He never played for Sunderland, but he played for Arsenal.
He played for Sunderland actually in 1989, I think. I was always at the bar, sorry.
Alan Sunderland. Yeah, but you never hear like Alan
No.
Sheffield United. Alan Sunderland. Yeah.
Yeah, what a man. I know Eamon had that bushy hair like him back in the day. You were doing them marauding runs like he done in this cup final.
That was only on the ankles, or was that hairy, Alan Sunderland
As long as that's all it was.
was great. Terry Venables loved him. He
He's
got
not
fight.
free.
He got fight and he got an head. Big head of curls. He's got an head. Yeah.
Old El Tal, I love
He's
it.
got a bubble perm. Yeah.
Danny Welbeck, old Welps, 2010, 26 appearances, six goals.
Danny Welbeck, what a player he is, you know.
Yeah, and he's having maybe by the looks with Eamon, Thomas Tuchel might be giving him an England call up with the form he's in
Danny
at Brighton.
Welbeck, I always loved him as an Arsenal player.
Yeah. You think Eamon injuries is.
He was restricted by injury at the
Yeah.
Arsenal, but I thought he was great. I thought he
We
was
saw
great
this
at the
one
Arsenal,
moment,
yeah.
Eamon, I'll never forget it. I think you were at the Emirates for this one when he got
Leicester.
that Leicester, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
And he was
just.
just good. Again, he'd only
Yeah.
come on as a late sub that day. He
Yeah.
was coming back from yet another injury.
Yeah.
My
Actually, I
favorite
think in
moment,
that celebration, he got injured as well.
My favorite moment with Danny Welbeck was his first game back at Old Trafford was an FA Cup game for us, and he scored, and
George, yeah, that's right.
he went wild celebrating. I thought it was brilliant, you
Yeah,
know.
that's when he didn't give a fuck about United fans. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
That
I
was
had a great attitude, Danny, you know.
yeah, like
Yeah.
he's thriving now at Brighton under Hörsler, isn't he? He's enjoying his football again. He's got that smile again. He's
Yeah.
a true
Oh,
pro.
yeah. We, you and I, Jonathan, our football career, we're more Malbec than
Speak for yourself, Eamon.
Danny, Jonathan Malbec. Yeah,
I
brilliant.
don't want any comments in
Yeah.
the comments. No, Eamon knows how good I was on the Emirates pitch. Warm ups up.
You remember the old man? He's more Merlot than Pirlo. He's more Malbec than Welbeck. Yeah.
Carlos Osborne, are you listening?
You're listening, Carl. Yeah.
Another gooner that played for both Niall Quinn, Eamon. How good was
Yeah.
he? His partnership with Kevin Phillips was just incredible, though, wasn't it?
He's a great hurler.
And or yeah.
He
But
played, he's he actually scored four goals for Dublin Minors in the Leinster Hurling Championship
did he?
final. He played in the All-Ireland Hurling Minor final for Dublin. He's the same year as me, right? He was that tall, but he was that young. When I played Gaelic football, Niall Quinn played for Robert Emmets. He's a
Did he?
huge man, but
Yeah.
he was very good for the Arsenal at a time when we were just getting over the Tony Woodcocks, Paul Mariners, high earners,
Yeah.
and him and Rocky came into the team at the same time, 1986. He made a big impression. But buying Alan Smith was kind of the end of Niall Quinn. And at that time, Jonathan, Alan Smith was a ready-made. He was an improvement on Niall. But
Yeah.
Niall went off to Man City
Man City,
first.
yeah, and he done really
Yeah,
well.
and he really worked on his touch,
Yeah.
and he actually became at one point in the, in his Man City and Sunderland career as a centre forward. The way the game was played then, he was nearly unplayable. He
Was,
could
yeah.
do it all. And Niall was great, you know.
Yeah, a couple of Irish players to note as well that played for the Machams. Kevin Kilbane, or Zinedine Kilbane, as he's better known here. And Jason McAteer does the name too. Stephen
Yeah.
Elliott, another one.
Yeah.
And Roy Keane himself. And the late Lee Miller actually played for
Late Miller,
Sunderland.
yeah.
Yeah, he another legend of Cork City, and also played for Man United back in the day as well. Your favourite game or goal from this fixture in the past between Sunderland and Arsenal, Eamon, that sticks out in your memory?
Okay, it's probably goes back to the late Wenger years.
Yeah.
It was the goal that Thomas Rosicky got, and it was a bit like the Jack Wilshere goal against Norwich in that there was five or six touches around the box. I was behind the goal in the clock end, and he just lifted it over the goalkeeper. It was a thing of beauty. I'd
Yeah.
say it was around 2016, 17.
Yeah, I remember
So
it well. It
anybody
was
who wants to see that goal, just look up. Resists the goal versus Sunderland. Really good,
my
yeah.
favourite memory. My favourite goal, I suppose, was Thierry Henry's last game in the second spell with the Gunners. He scored against Sunderland in the very last minute
He scored it with his knee,
with his knee. Yeah, just bouncing past
Great ball by Arshavin, by the way.
Arshavin. Yeah. And
Yeah.
he was actually at Anfield actually back in August. Arshavin, as a fan, he still has that four goal finger celebration.
Matt, he's a mad head in him. He looks as if somebody stuck him
Like
to a
a
shop
rocker
window.
or something. Yeah, he's like one of those old school rockers, but
Yeah.
John Bon Jovi he's trying to be, I think. But yeah, of course, I'd like to thank Eamon Donnelly for your time this evening, Eamon. I hope everyone enjoyed the preview show for tonight. Catch us in the River Bar, 5:30 Saturday for the pre and post match atmosphere. It's always cracking, Eamon will tell you. And this is Eamon's last show of being 59, Eamon, so it's been a
Yeah.
pleasure, and hopefully from 60 onwards we'll be the same.
I'm
New jokes all the way, but until then.
in danger of becoming a middle-aged cynic, you know.
That will never happen.
Nah.
Catch us on Spotify and the Dublin Arts YouTube channel.
Yeah.
But until the next time, come on, you Gooners.
Thanks, Jonathan.